This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Dear Colgate, I love that you love that I love being at home. You even let me whiten my teeth from home.
Because you know how I feel about getting up from my cloud couch.
The Colgate Optic White LED Kit gives professional level results in just 10 minutes a day for 10 days when used as directed.
And that's why, Colgate, I want you to meet my parents. Because ever since meeting you, I've been living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Super Bowl of reality TV. I am Brian Cohen, here with an extravagant panel to cover the season 10 finale of Vanderpump Rules, the scandal of all of it all. First, let me introduce the co-host of the Challenge Podcast, the person that I've been doing podcasting with for a very long time. My ride or die is the great Ali Lasher. Ali, how are you?
First, I want to say, if you're seeing this on video, no, you didn't. This is not intended. I'm very afraid the video is going to leak. But I do have some visual gags for the group here, but sorry to the podcast audience. I came in my Ariana swag, my number one guy in the group sweatshirt, and I believe I acquired the, no lie, last bottle of Vanderpump Rosé in New York City. I had to go to two places, and one of those guys called another guy, so, and this was the last bottle on the shelf. They told me they were out, but I peeped it in the back and was like, I see one over there, so I'm ready. I feel like we've waited our whole lives for this, so I'm ready to talk about it.
Yes. Next, the woman who, I don't know if she came prepared with another PowerPoint, but has certainly prepared PowerPoints about Vanderpump in the past. It is the great Haley Strong. Haley, how are you?
These are the best days of my life because I have just been like bursting at the seams for over 2 months at this point. Like, my bones are radiating VPR at this point. And like, when these reunions are over, I genuinely don't know what else I will think about because this has consumed every waking thought of mine.
Yes. No, absolutely. And lastly, a girl who will never dip out on us just when things get cold. It is the great TikTok Nicole. TikTok Nicole, how are you?
I'm so honored. I'm deeply humbled to be here to discuss the event of the century. Just when we thought that Tom and Raquel couldn't go any lower, they went straight to hell. And I'm so excited.
They're playing their own game of limbo and they are both winning. The only game they're winning.
6 feet under. Truly, truly. I'm fuguing. I'm shook. Last night's episode, like, truly, you had to be there. So excited to get into it.
Yeah, we were here about a year ago. Right after the season, I think we did after the reunion of last season, where the show was in a much different place. Every couple was seemingly in a very different place. And now here we are, the show again in a very, very different place and a lot to discuss. Let's just start with...
Wait, really quick, Brian, I just want to give you credit because you were a visionary, right? Because the show was sort of like dead, right? It was like 9 seasons in, we got together, we loved the show, we're still watching it. And we speculated a lot about, like, where do we go now? Is Raquel the future of the show? Like, will it survive? It's all these people are single now. It's on its last legs. Like, and you know, thank God for you that you saw a future in Vanderpump Rules podcasting, a reason to have brought us together. So we're not just showing up late to the party here.
Look, I wasn't going to say it. I'm glad you did. I appreciate all the compliments. But so, I mean, this was, I would say, probably the most hyped episode of reality TV in a very, very, very long time. So I'll pose, let's start with this. Did it live up to the hype and the billing that you expected, that you wanted, that everyone talked about? Did it live up to that?
So it's so interesting because this is not the only Bravo show that's been sort of doing this. And we've talked about this in the group chat a bit of, like, it's weird to watch a show when you know you've seen these people be interviewed officially on Bravo about this topic and you haven't seen it yet. It felt like by the time the finale was announced, I was sort of like, am I going to be over it by then? Like, have we already taken all of the air out of this conversation? Have we already seen everything we have to see? We already know the timeline. But really seeing Ariana's response, the conversations between Tom and Ariana, the way she's able to take him down in such a vulnerable state, I was living for it. I was like, you know what? This delivered, not in the information sense where I needed to hear all of these like facts unravel, but seeing the like raw emotion, it was like nothing I've ever seen on TV.
I completely agree with you. I felt like we didn't get any new information from this episode, but I do feel like all the dots are now connected and like it all just like makes more sense, like hearing it and seeing it as it like played out in that week where they picked the cameras back up.
No, I felt like I was watching my friends find out like some really juicy tea. Like I was in the room with them with it unfolding. I felt like I was one of the people that Ariana came to watch her as she was grieving in shifts. You ever have a breakup that bad where people have to watch you in shifts? Like I felt like I was there rubbing her back, giving her some.
I have to unmute to laugh. I'm not giving you the proper like audio. Like I'm laughing on mute over here.
I felt the same. Every time I thought it was getting a little overplayed out, every Watch What Happens Live, no matter who was on it, they would talk about it. Let's discuss Vanderpump. Let's discuss Vanderpump. Discuss the scandal. I thought it would start to get played out. And then right when they hit us with the intro of like the ominous music, the flashback, the timelines, the camera phones, the camera videos, and then you see the side by side of Tom and Ariana sitting down in their professional chairs, I was so hyped. And I just like, I think I had my hands over my mouth like almost the entire time. I thought it was incredible. The whole conversation that Sandoval and Ariana had was incredible. They had every combination, I thought, appropriately at good times. I didn't find myself wishing there was another conversation they didn't have. I thought they had all the groupings very well. It was so edited well. Bravo to Bravo. The editors really
not killed that. Mute your mic for 5 minutes. It's crazy too because I just completely forgot what I was going to say because I was so distracted by the Bravo to Bravo. Come back. I'll mute my mic for 5 minutes.
Oh boy. Yeah, they had a lot of interesting combinations and I don't know, it just felt so different, the setup of this episode. And I know like we weren't going to see people like go wait tables at Sir. I would have loved to see maybe like an interview with Charlie just to say like, hey, I've been defending her all season. This is like, we're done. Like, that's it. Like, I'm not ride or die for her anymore. There were some fun combinations that I didn't expect, especially Ariana and Schwartz. Like I just very much loved her telling him he was a spineless little worm and that they were not friends anymore. And that is the boundary and you need to deal with it. It was everything she said was just so perfect that I don't know how somebody who's so emotionally distraught could come up with such just brilliant wordsmithing. And that's why we love Ariana.
She ended remember two times for the price of one.
Mm-hmm.
I remember what I was going to say, which is just like, as somebody who watched, I have two major looming questions for you guys as we get into this later, like things I need to come to the, you know, this isn't the red table, the four square here on StreamYard, and air out and like really sort of still work through. And one of them is sort of, and I know like Kristen and Ariana have both disposed of this, and like Ariana touches on it a little in this episode. Kristen's touched on it on every platform you could possibly be involved in.
In the exact same messaging. Like exactly. Word for word, no deviations. She has asked her PR person and they gave her a script and she has stuck to it.
And it's more than I can say for Rachel and Tom. But like, it is like the obvious comparison that was originally and has been made of like, yeah, you lose him the same way you got him. He cheated on Kristen with you. And the real analogous story to me is more that when Kristen cheated on Tom with Jax, because that was like the friendship betrayal and the egregiousness of like in our home, I was asleep. Like for any new Vanderpump Rules fans, yes, that was a plot line several years ago. And what was interesting, we've seen these people do vile, vile, unethical, immoral, like horrific things to each other through the course of the show. And it's interesting being 32. When I started watching this, I was 22, and seeing the way people are dealing with this, like seeing how Tom's dealing with this versus when he dealt with it with Kristen, and seeing it with more mature eyes and really seeing like, oh, Schwartz is deeply flawed. Tom is deeply like troubled, like, you know, like narcissistic. Like when the last like really big unethical like swell happened, I think I was too young to like really appreciate the gross reactions. And so I was seeing these people, like particularly Tom Schwartz tonight, with like different eyes.
He gave me like the heebie-jeebies every time he was on screen.
And acts like, oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say what's so interesting about that is like all like the breakups recently have all been off camera. It's all been on hiatus. This also was a hiatus, but the fact that they got the cameras up and they got it rolling, I feel like we might have had similar conversations, reactions, not because of the sadness of it, but like if Katie and Schwartz had got divorced like in the summer and those things were happening raw on camera, that would have been so different. Or the Lala and Randall stuff, or even like James and Raquel, like they basically broke up at the reunion. Like it's so different that we got all this, because if this has just happened and we're just all the speculation and they pick up filming, you know, in the summer, it's such a different vibe as to what we're able to, you know, enjoy or consume of this content. It's so different compared to like anything else that's really rocked this world in such a long time.
No, they got those cameras quick. Bravo. They picked them up. Ariana was like, I was in love with him 2 days ago. Like, damn, give this girl a minute to like dry her tears.
Yeah.
Stick a camera in her face.
But she was like, on Wednesday, right. I found this out. And I was like, girl,
this
like,
poor woman.
I would still be like dead, I think.
No, the way that Ariana is so composed, like if Tom was treating me the way, like in that scene when they were conversing back and forth, I would be in the back of a cop car in a straight jacket, like 5150 for my life. Cause like no one's ever going to speak to me like that.
Yeah. I mean, so we don't need to go beat by beat, but I do think, well, let's start with the Tom and Ariana convo, cause that's probably like the biggest moment of the show. So Haley, what was a moment for you that really stuck out of their conversation?
First of all, I'm glad they gave that to us first. I'm really, I think that was a really great decision. And then we can just kind of get the processing after. The thing that I'm not too proud to admit that I cried multiple times watching this episode, because I am an absolute baby. The thing that got me the most was like Ariana was so composed throughout the whole conversation. And then at the end, when she says, is there anything else you want to say? Because like, I'm never talking to you again. And he says something dumb. And then she kind of finishes off with like, and like, as of 2 days ago, I was your ride or die. I would have done anything for you. I would have gone anywhere for you. I would have gone to the end of the earth. And like, this is what you do. And I was just like, and she was like starting to tear up. And then I was starting to tear up. And I thought that was the most poignant, because we have seen over the last, you know, 8 seasons that they've been together that Ariana has stood up for him in a lot of situations where she knew he was in the wrong, but mm-hmm. she was just like the ride or die. So she, you know, I think the one that kind of sticks out the most was in season 8 with the Stassi book event at Tom Tom. Like Tom was in the wrong. He was, that was not cool what he did. And Ariana kind of defending him on that. We were all kind of like, girl, no, but he never did that for her, which, you know, it sucks, but I'm glad she's out of it.
That makes sense why him and Tom Schwartz are best friends. Neither of them will stand up for their woman. Mm-hmm. Like, they will literally take any opportunity to scream in a grown woman's face. It's crazy. Like, I mean, he couldn't let Ariana have 1 minute of rage without screaming back at her like a child.
Yeah, and I don't know how much you guys are taking in the VPR podcast circuit, but it,
oh, I'm there.
It has come out on a couple different podcasts that Tom Sandoval was screaming in Terry Maloney's face, mm-hmm. Katie's mom, telling her to shut up. And I don't understand how somebody didn't punch him straight in the face on that. And like, kudos to every single person in that room for having the restraint and not doing that.
Just number for Terry Maloney.
T. Nicole's taught me things that I'm T. Period. Yeah. No, what's so crazy to me is I saw a TikTok early days of this scandal where, you know, there was like an online, I did try to find it today, but I couldn't find it again. But it was like some like scholar like talking about men viewing other men as like basically being heterosexual and homoromantic or something, like viewing women as sexual objects. But viewing the men in, as a man, viewing the men in your life as your most important relationships, confidants, like person you enjoy spending time with, person you confide in, person you defend. And they used the Vanderpump Rules men, including Jax when he was on the show, as like a key example in that. And it really is, has always been true. And I think certainly is a big problem, is a big problem and contributor to the divorce of Tom and Katie. But here it's just so apparent. It's like they prioritize their relationship with each other over all relationships with women and quite frankly, objectify the women in their lives. And like what I was so impressed with Ariana and what stuck with me really is her characterization of Tom's interest in Raquel. Because later Lisa says something that really pissed me off when Lisa characterizes it like Tom, they weren't really intimate. And then this beauty queen comes by and he can't resist. Like she was this temptress. And we can talk about, obviously we'll talk about Raquel's culpability here. But when Ariana phrased it as like some young, I loved you when you had nothing. And now some young girl is enamored by you and is in awe that you're famous. Mm-hmm. And like, she searches for identity in men and you like, eat it up, and she's willing to cheat on her life partner and you eat that up. And I'm like, that's exactly what happened. It's not, oh, he got swayed by sex of this like young hot woman. It's he liked the ego boost and preyed upon a woman who is profoundly insecure and still culpable. I don't mean that she's not culpable, but
mm-hmm. No, I also just started the first season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because I need a lot of content during my work days. And Lisa like hits home multiple times. She's like she like LOL brags like I only have sex with Ken twice a year, like his birthday and Christmas. So it's like, girly girl, you're making this joke, but then you're saying, well, she's just not giving it up enough.
Yeah, Lisa, I was expecting a little bit more. I don't think she, you know, really went after Tom that hard. I mean,
no, she never does. She never. Yeah. She will never get on a man's case. Because she is a boys will be boys girly. And like, I am having a little bit of a tough time with that reaction. I get it. He's a business partner. This show is her business. The restaurant is her business. She has stakes in this man. She could have whipped his ass a little bit more.
Yeah, because the line is that what you, and because Schwartz kind of almost said this too, where basically like, you're not a bad guy. You just did a bad thing. I feel like this goes beyond just a bad thing. This is not just like a normal thing. This is like, no, actually you are a bad guy. Like to do this to someone that you're with for a decade and to you cultivate all these lies and bring in all these different people. Like, I get it. At least it does have this like business relationship with him, but it is just beyond like a bad thing that doesn't make you a bad guy. So I thought Lisa didn't come across that great. But Ariana was just like unbelievably incredible in this scene. The fact that she only really got angry once, just talking about Raquel, the fact that she was able to be so calm and composed and just so eloquent in the way she just eviscerated Tom and just eviscerated Raquel and just like called them out for everything and just so perfectly succinct. And then like the way when she like looked at him, it's like, I want you to hear from me. Like, you are nothing. You are a loser. Like, that was so vicious, but so perfect. Cause all, I think Tom wanted her to start yelling and acting crazy. So that way he could try to like, be like, oh, she's coming at me. I'm like the poor little side guy in the corner. But the fact that she was able to be so composed, like that's not what he wanted. And it was perfect for her to act like that.
God, I'm so obsessed with her. When he kept calling her dude, like that would have been my last shot. That's when I would have started screaming. Like the fact you were able to get through your boyfriend of 9 years calling you dude when you're having a very serious conversation about the fact that you're sleeping with my best friend. Also, like if your man starts sleeping with your best friend, he could never come back from that. She just kept using that as a rebuttal over and over again. Like you can't get past that.
You're going to Raquel's. Are you going to hug and kiss and talk about your deep connection? Yeah, probably. Like,
shut up, Tom Sandoval. Like, I was watching at the bar with the girlies. That's when we all started screaming. It was just like groans from every corner of the room. It was really tough watch. I was like, the whole time.
Well, that's also like, Tom, I mean, this is throughout the whole episode, right? Like, Tom, I really don't believe Tom is capable of self-reflection and ownership. And hot take, Tom can't take ownership for anything. And that could be applicable to either Tom. But when he, like, the deep connection thing, like, Tom is like, it's important that you know that, even though you're telling me you don't want to hear about my feelings for Raquel. And then later when he says, I think Haley, before Ariana says that I would have followed you anywhere, Tom says, like, I never thought this would happen. Like, I thought we'd be together forever. And it's like, my 16-month-old nephew is working on understanding that actions have consequences. Like, you're a 40-year-old man, you are not a victim of your actions.
Yeah. And like, I think Tom Schwartz said something about like, I guess this is your karma. No, it is not karma. It is repercussions of your actions and you need to take responsibility for them.
Lala made a TikTok.
Yeah, as James said, well, if you do outrageous things, expect people to be outraged.
Lala was screaming in a TikTok about that because like Raquel also said something about karma and he's like, no, like these are actions. Karma is like your man messing around on you later. Like this is repercussions to your action. And then like someone like talks to Ocean. I'm like, I love the idea that Lala is like surrounded by a baby and like family and people helping her. And she's like there screaming at the TV, like your actions have consequences.
Yeah. Like, sorry, you do something bad. And your life blows up because you did something bad. And that is just, that's what happens. Like, I don't know I don't know what you do. Like, I am, like, you just know, hey, if I cheat on my longtime girlfriend, who I would say, like, a good portion of the audience really adores and is, like, their favorite cast member. Like, that's something that's very bad. Whatever. With her BFF, a girl who, like, people don't really care about that much and like actively think is a dum-dum for 7 months. What do you expect the outcome of that to be? Like us rooting for you, the world's biggest slime ball that we've been seeing slime up our televisions for literally a decade, a fifth grader's lifespan. We have been watching you be an absolute monsoon of a person and like why did either of them expect anyone to be on their side? Tom Schwartz isn't even on their side. He just has to be
legally obligated.
Yeah, like they have a blood oath. Like they have buried a body in the Florida Keys and like that is what they have over each other because nothing else makes sense.
So what do you make? What do you make of Schwartz? I mean, we got a lot of questions.
He's a worm. He's a dumb dumb worm. Like I'm
this
tired
is my other thing.
Yeah,
I would like to have a trial of Tom Schwartz because I might have had to like
guilty.
I need to. Well, like that's the thing.
Oh, I thought you meant like you'd like to test him out. I was like, he's been tested.
No, I would like
you want to do a lawyer trial and not like the free trials I do on Netflix, no, so I don't have to pay.
I'm coming to the panel of judges here to put Tom Schwartz on trial, because obviously I think we're all on the same page that he sickens us. He's a worm, like everything Haley just said. Like, but, and this is, I'm not afraid. I didn't come here to make friends. I don't think Tom is a good person. I don't think he's a good partner, business or otherwise. But if I put myself in the shoes where I'm friends with a couple, and I can think of a friend, two people I met in law school, I'm friends with the husband, I'm friends with the wife. If I found out that my friend, the wife, was cheating on the husband with one of his friends, I would be revolted. I would be like, this is horrible. I don't know that I would tell him. Like, so what are Tom Schwartz's crimes? Like, what are we charging with him?
He knew for a long time. And so
when did he know? When did
he know? He knew in August. Like, sorry, he may not have known the extent of it, but I very much believe after the wedding, when he made it with Rachel, Tom Sandoval told him to get him to back off. And so he knew, maybe he only knew about the one night stand. But we have been hearing that they have been going on little double dates after the finale wrap, after, like in January in Big Bear. So he knew something. He knew something. And yeah, I get it. Like, you got to peer pressure that, like, you know, you got to peer pressure this time. You got to tell them. I'd give a timeline. I say 1 month or I am telling them myself. Like, it's not. Ariana stood for him in his wedding. She was a groomsman. Like, I don't know. Like, it just, I don't know. If anybody in my wedding party, like, I knew that was happening to them, like,
I would maybe do more intervention with Raquel. Like, if I was also friends with the mistress, like, maybe I'd be like, you need to stop trying to be friends with Ariana. Like, but and I'm sorry, Brian, I'm friends with you and your wife. This will never happen, but I will not tell. Like, I just have to say, like, there's just no situation where I think I would insert myself into the relationship. I would rag, like you're saying, Haley, I would tell that person to tell them over and over. And the cover up, I think, is where he shows up more in the crime scene. But I don't think he should have told Ariana. Now I'm Tom Schwartz confused. I'm Tom Sandoval confusing me.
No.
But like, after after knowing about, okay, if it's like a one night stand, I guess it's none of my business. If it is a long standing affair with somebody, it's like, it's a different situation, I guess. Like, it is a case by case basis. But I do think Tom Schwartz had some responsibility to put Sandoval's feet to the fire and say, this is messed up. If you don't say anything, I'm telling Katie, and whatever Katie does with that information, then, you know, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to leave a note on the dog's collar and see what happens. Like,
Ron was out grinding with several women.
Yeah. Like, please.
Yeah. Like, I kind of agree. I don't know what position Schwartz could be to tell Ariana. But I think the worst crime of it is the fact that, yes, he's known. And it's the subtle jokes that they would make. Like, he knew about it in August.
And
he's making a joke like, oh, we know Raquel's type. It's taken men. While knowing that she already slept with Tom.
She's not here for me. Trust me. It's
the fact that there is no way he was not complicit in, like, their rendezvous at his apartment or hiding them off in hotels.
You're telling me he didn't know they were jacking off to each other in the next room? Like, come on. How thick are the apartment walls in LA? From what I've heard, not that thick.
It's not that if it's one thing to not tell, it's another thing to be complicit in the cover up, to probably create scenarios where they can run off together and do things together. And making like the inside jokes at Ariana's expense without her even knowing
with her there.
That's, to me, is by far worse.
Brian, were those jokes or were they cries for help? If Tom wanted to tell, he would have told, but like, that to me isn't a joke. Trust me, he's not here for me. And now Tom, like, if I were Tom's PR team, which would be an improvement on whatever he doesn't have, is like, when Katie confronts you with that, be like, I felt tied, but I was trying to tell, like, I brought it up in plain sight, hoping to send a signal to, you know, like, I didn't feel like those were like hilarious jokes at Ariana's expense. Ultimately, looking back, he was telling her, but he wasn't telling her, but like, I don't, you know,
but it was the worm's way out. And because then again, Katie's like, you said this. And he's like, no, I didn't.
That's where
he's such like, I Oh, it drives
me. Born to gaslight.
It drives me nuts. Like, vindication for Katie Maloney after like so long of everyone thinking she's the crazy one. She's like a B word. Tom Schwartz is the true villain.
No, Tequila Katie came from her having to suppress her feelings all day to live with Schwartz and live around him. And then they came out when she had a drink. Like, who can blame her? The patriarchy created Tequila Katie, and I stand by that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't defend, I want to be clear, beyond Tom not just straight up telling Ariana, I there's the defense rests, you know, like that's it. Mm-hmm. But I think what he's doing now is insane, because like, I think Andy like pulled him aside at Watch What Happens Live and was like, you need media training. Like, you need to not be like showing up here and like saying the crazy shit you're saying. But like, he could, now that it's out, completely just be like, I knew, I told him every day to tell. He told me the same lies he's telling now. I was gaslit by Tom Schwartz, like Sandoval too. And I told him he has to tell Ariana. And I really like, I didn't know what to do. And it was so hard. And I hate that this happened. Like, he's losing the plot. Like, he's not, or like, yes, he shouldn't have facilitated it in his house. But like everything else, I feel like he could spin to now be on like the other side of things. And he's just instead being like, this is what I meant before when I said like, now as a 32-year-old person, I'm looking at these people differently. Like, Tom and Tom's first response to any confrontation is lie. Mm-hmm. Like, even Tom Sandoval is like, well, did you sleep with somebody? Is this the first time you've ever cheated? Is it with someone we know? No. Well, yes. Like, he just goes immediately to the lie and then even reveals. And I feel like Schwartz is doing that too, where with just a little bit of thought and professional help, he could have not been in as hot water as he finds himself.
Yeah, it's because for both of them, both Toms, their gut instinct is to at all costs protect themselves or protect each other. No matter, and that, against Ariana or against Katie or against anyone else in this group, all their main focus on is keeping their reputation in order, keeping each other's reputation in order. And now for both of them, their main focus is their stupid freaking bar. Like, both every time it came up, Sandoval's first apology was to the bar. Every time Schwartz had a conversation with Katie or the Ariana, he kept bringing up the bar's in trouble. Like, please tell everyone not to like, you know, protest the bar. And Ariana said it perfectly. Like, why would people want to like support you guys? You guys suck. Why would people want to spend their money at the bar? And that has always been their focus. It's themselves and each other. And it's been, you know, I feel like going back and watching early days Vanderpump, like the knowledge of who Schwartz really is going to really put Katie in a much different light. Because like you all have said, Katie has been absolutely through the ringer. She's been the battered wife, not Schwartz.
So right.
Can we read Tom Schwartz's text to Ariana?
Please.
Yeah, go ahead, Ellie. You read it.
We're
all like screenshots. Like, we're at a house
receipt.
Yeah. Mine's in a bedazzled box. Like,
oh, yeah, mine's not. Morning, Ariana.
Mail folder.
So this is the text that Schwartz finally sent to Ariana like 2 days.
What was it? Yeah, tweet 2 weeks later or something, yeah. A week later. Morning, Ariana. Hopefully you're resting at least a little easier now. I'm not here to make excuses for Tom or justify his actions. He confided in me and I told him what he needed to do, sit you down and tell you everything out of respect for everything you guys have built together. Mm-hmm. I guess he was about to tell you and this all blew up.
Ugh.
And you got humiliated in the worst way possible. I'm not going to try and tell his story. You should jet set somewhere fabulous and just absolutely spoil yourself. Sheer decadence. Turn your phone off. I hope you don't have too much ill will towards me. This whole situation is just effed. I don't want to kick my guy when he's down. But my God, the amount of anxiety and backlash I'm getting because his actions are insane. Anyways, just know I care about you and I know you are going to be just fine. If I'm Ariana, I am driving to that man's house and throwing his phone out of a window and never speaking to him again.
I'm burning his house down. Bombastic side eye.
Like the audacity to be like, spoil yourself. Sheer decadence. Also, hope you're not mad at me. Like, what if?
Oh, you just kept going and going and going.
It feels so quintessential Tom Schwartz.
Do you think Joe helped him write that? Like, he must have worked on that is the worst part. Like, he worked on that.
No, he was in the notes app editing, moving paragraphs around, accidentally deleting when he went to copy.
But couldn't spell out the word because. The reader added that. It was BC.
No.
We're still shortening because. I thought that died in 2006.
And it was never like going to. It was always gonna. So I also did him a few favors there.
What's he doing with all that time he's saving with these abbreviations?
Women need to stop rescuing Tom Schwartz, Haley.
He looks terrible.
Okay,
like,
Scott, cut that out. Yellow, I'm reading it again.
Wait, Nicole, to your point about that, somebody tweeted that like Tom Schwartz dresses like a guy on vacation whose luggage didn't arrive, like who lost his luggage. And it was like Haley just did a spit take. It was so true.
No, he can't wear a flattering shirt to save his life. He looks terrible. He's all yellow and jaundicey. It's giving liver failure. I'm sorry.
I mean, he puts lemons under his arms. What about the bath he took before his wedding? He hopped in a freaking river. Like, this is not, shouldn't be surprising. Oh my
God. Danny Pellegrino. Danny Pellegrino keeps making fun of him because he just like wears sandals around LA and he's like, these little grippers are out. And it makes me laugh so hard every single time. Just the word grippers. I just know
like athlete's foot.
Oh my God, yeah. That whole apartment is just like pure stank.
Yeah.
Sorry, we need to drag him. Like, it needed to happen. No, it's it. Cleansed also, right now.
I think we also need to drag Raquel because that was probably the cringiest scene, right? The conversation Sandoval goes to Raquel's. She cheers to a shot.
She came off so stupid. She's the stupidest person.
Do you think they paid for sponsorship? Do you think they paid for those sponsorships that they have those beers shown twice? Because Schwartz picked up a Coors Light also, very odd.
Listen, I'm not gonna hate on Coors Light here. I'm not going to stand here against a mass-produced light beer because that is what I would drink at a frat party. I mean, not that I ever went to any frat parties, like that was not my steez, you know, what I was drinking in university. Coca-Cola with grenadine in it.
Well, like that's Schwartz's Coca-Cola. That is Schwartz's Coca-Cola. So, you know. So Allie, what did you? So, I feel like for Raquel, there was also a way out for her to try to like come across a little sympathetic, but she like comes across as almost like the Joker in the way she's like laughing about it. What was your read on Raquel with that conversation with Sandoval?
So first of all, I just realized that my mic was not selected as the audio. So welcome to the podcast, Allie. It was my AirPod, so hopefully it's like still okay, but hopefully it's improvement. Raquel. So I think I'm glad we didn't get an Ariana Raquel scene because I think Ariana was almost more prepared for Tom because obviously these are problems that had been building. She later said on Watch What Happens Live that she like frequently asked where he was going and why he wasn't coming home and checked his phone frequently. So like, I think she was sort of not ready for this, but ready to unload all of her 9 years of grievances on her partner. Whereas with Raquel, I think it was so blindsiding that it was Raquel more than anyone. So I don't think like I was ready. They were ready to like have that. But the Raquel and Tom thing was giving... Wow, the magic has really worn off now that everybody knows. Mm-hmm. Like this, more than Raquel and Tom, Ariana and Tom in the beginning, like it felt so fake, artificial, immature, like awkward. Like these people are not in love. The one thing I disagree with, Brian, is I actually don't think there was a path forward for Raquel here. I think Raquel went into this knowing she would lose her friendship with everyone. Like there was no world where Raquel could have thought.
I don't think she thought. I don't think it occurred to her to like think about the future.
No, but even what she says was like, we always said we wouldn't do this if it wasn't worth it. And like even here she's looking for validation from him, right? Because ultimately I believed and you set this up before, Haley, but I think Katie Maloney said it in one of the interviews, maybe on Nick Viall's podcast, of like the Raquel Tom of it all was like Raquel was waiting for Tom Sandoval to like break up with Tom Schwartz and to put a little fuel on the fire to, sorry, to break up with Tom, with Ariana. Oh my God, my brain is broken. Waiting for Tom Sandoval to dump Ariana and to put fuel on the fire, she started hitting on Schwartz to like make him jealous. And then that's when like Tom Sandoval had to tell Schwartz, you know, like that was Katie's theory, is like Tom Sandoval's ego was like, you can't fuck Raquel. I'm fucking Raquel. Like now, you know, but like even she never got what she wanted. She never got Tom Sandoval really choosing her because his hand was forced. He didn't tell Ariana. He didn't break up with Ariana. And I feel like in this scene, she's just like, I forget what she says, but she's like, she says something like, would we go back and change things? And I feel like she's desperate for him to be like, no, this was worth it. I mm-hmm. wouldn't change it. And he's like, I've changed a lot of things.
Should have, could have, would have.
We need a better word for pick me, because it's like, she shouldn't be in the same category as every other like normal pick me girl.
She's not like other pick me girls.
I try to have sympathy for people. I have had a very hard time finding any sympathy for Tom and Raquel. And the moment I wanted to puke the most, I'd say, is when they're snuggled up on the couch and she has the godforsaken audacity to say to him, well, how do I know you won't cheat on me?
You cheated
on your girlfriend of 9 years. How do I know you won't do that to me? Girl, he will do that to you. He's doing that to you. I can tell you that for free 99. He has been sleeping with somebody else while carrying on with you and Ariana.
Not free 99. What's that Canadian?
Yeah, I guess it'd be like 75 cents for you guys.
Schwartz kept talking about this master plan that they had for Sandoval and Raquel and something about coming out before the reunion, but nothing's really been clear. Nicole, what do you think Sandoval and Raquel's plan was to come clean or ever come clean?
I think from what we were seeing in last week's episode, when Raquel went up to Ariana and was kind of like grooming her to break up with Sandoval a little bit, she was like, do you even think he's that hot? You have a sex life? I mean, I would want to be attracted to the man I'm dating.
You should want to have sex in a relationship. Let's go back one season when she said, oh, me and James haven't had sex in 2 years. Okay. And then her confession, the confessional. We just like have trauma blocked that out of our brains when she's like smiling in her confessional, being like, well, it was smiling. Like so great to intercourse with somebody like I actually love. Like, no. Ew, this guy's so grime city. Oh. Like, this is the guy. This is the one.
No, dead ass. I think they're trying to get. I think Sandoval is trying to quiet quit, push Raquel to get Ariana to break up with them first, just so that they can mm-hmm. be together naturally. That was my theory.
That was the plan. Obviously, yeah. Cheat, and Tom says it. She could have followed me. I never came home.
Dare she just blame me? How dare? She is the, you know what? I am on Tom Sandoval's side. She is the worst. How dare?
The way he blamed her for not following him and tracking him and catching him in the act of cheating. So it's I don't think I've ever been, I don't think I've ever let a louder gasp while watching the show than hearing him try to blame her for not being more untrustworthy of him. That was, even Schwartz was like, even Schwartz was like, I don't think you can blame her for that. That's going a little too far. When you got Schwartz finally going against Sandoval, you know it's over the line.
And then do
you have a pop star mic on? Are you giving Britney right now?
No, he is.
Your headset has the mic? Sorry, I just noticed that. We don't ever do video. Do you always have that?
It is. It's my old, I wear it when I play Xbox.
This is that is taking me back to our early days of podcasting when I think we all had the same like headset mic where it definitely felt like you were in a call center.
No, you had that. I never had that, but I remember seeing you with it.
It's giving radio host. I'm loving it.
Sorry, back to you, Brian.
I was going
to
say, we're in the lighthearted mood. The one lighthearted scene, I feel like, of the entire night was the return of Kristen Doty and witchcraft. Allie, were you happy to see Miss Doty return?
Okay. I I was trying to explain it. My boyfriend and I were watching it, and he's like, I've heard all about this, but like doesn't know any of it. But is a Bravo girly and on other levels. And so I like paused to be like, so here's the thing. 9 years ago, Ariana was the other woman and they were screaming at each other while Tom sat there while the women fought about it. And like now they're friends. Here's my problem. Having not like really kept up with these girlies outside of this season, like the Vanderpump Rules of it all, I like was not aware that Kristen and Ariana were such great friends over the last 5 years. And so it reads a little weird to me that Kristen is like jumping at the opportunity. And I feel like, do you guys believe what she's saying where like every appearance she does, she's like, I asked Ariana if she wanted me to come here. And Ariana said, I really want you to come there. Like, Is that accurate?
I do believe that. Maybe I'm just a little bit of a sucker, but I very much feel like Kristen has moved on from Vanderpump Rules and doesn't really want to do this anymore. Mm. And like Ariana was actively like, I saw a theory today. I saw a theory today that was like Ariana wanted Kristen to come on to like have some like vindication of like the whole situation from however many years ago and to be like, hey, look, like we're good. She's good. Like, you know, it was mm-hmm. it was the guy who was the problem, just to like have her like arc kind of. Yeah, you know what? I'm willing to believe that she wants back into this fold, but I'm trying to take her word for it, I guess.
I think you're right that it might be somewhere in the middle where it's like she wants to be on, but did talk to Ariana. And that theory makes sense to me of like Ariana wants to get ahead of people saying, well, you get them the way you lose them. And they really have done a lot. I think Kristen has done a lot to be like, we shouldn't have even been together. We were so toxic. This was a life partner. They bought a house. It's different. And maybe that is like, I mean, it's definitely helped, I think, quell that side. Cause that was my first reaction, frankly, cause I'm a beast.
Yeah, look, I think Kristen's a very changed person. I think she definitely wants back on the show, and I think she's jumped at the first opportunity she can to be on the show, as she should. I think she deserves to be back. I want to see her back, but I do think she is a more mature version of herself. I think Kristen of like 5 or 6 years ago would have been being like, ha ha ha, like I'm vindicated. See, I was right all along. I was calling all this, but I think she can see the difference in their relationship. She can see what a mess that her and Tom's relationship was compared to Tom's and Ariana. So I think Kristen wants to be back, but I think she is a much more mature version that is able to see the differences in the story and articulate it very well. But I think season 11 comes along and they're handing out contracts. Even like if Kristen's like a friend of, she will be ready to roll.
How do you feel about the rumors that Jax and Brittany are coming back for next season?
I think the same thing for Jax. I think they absolutely want to be back, but I think Jax is also a much more mature version. But
I don't believe that.
He's thirsty.
He's so thirsty. I have no interest in seeing him back. And like the stakes with him now are so high. It's like, yeah, sure, we can like handle seeing this terrible person on TV because like it's just him. There's no stakes. But now he has like a wife and a full on baby. It's just like, I don't want to see his little antics again. Like, I'm happy to like delude myself into thinking that he's nice to Brittany now.
Like, he's raising the future. He has a child. I don't want to see him messing up that kid in real time. Mm-mm. That's too tragic for me to watch. Can we all agree that the Kristen scene was a little overhyped? Like when I saw her little slides walk into the scene, I was gagged. Like in a good way, in a slay way, I was gagged. But all she did was a little bit of a spell. She said, we got a slay, which was very millennial of her. I loved it. She should have been there at the rooftop later. Yes. Like, give Kristen her due. She was in the trenches for us, and she made Vanderpump Rules what it is. Give her more flowers.
It did make me a little teary. This scene made me a little teary, too. Just, like, you know, them kind of hugging each other, and she's saying, like, Kristen's saying something. I'm like, oh, my ex-boyfriend, Ariana's like,
oh,
our ex-boyfriend. Yeah. Did they just hug and giggle? And, like, I thought... I get it. I thought we were getting more like vindictive Kristen coming back, but like I did feel like Kristen coming back for that single like screenshot of them like hugging was worth it.
Women supporting women. I love it.
As much as I was like, oh, Kristen like jumped at, you know, chomping at the bit to come back. Like, I want to be clear. If I were in Kristen's situation, all systems go. Like, I would just be like, I've heard my name. And I would be like, just like, I would teleport there, like, and be on the show ripping him. But one thing that really sort of like hurt me a little bit, but should be a real warning shot to Raquel. I don't believe that somebody who's cheated can't ever reform. Like, that's sort of the sadness of this moment for me, is that, I mean, there's a lot of sadness, but like Tom and Brian, I think we talked about this at some like chaotic rant at the end of one of the challenge podcasts, of like, there is negative growth. Like, there is zero growth from Sandoval. We watched this man say the same things, do the same thing, do everything the same as he did in his relationship with Kristen, as he's doing now. And when Ariana says, it took me 9 years to realize what he did to you was who he was, and it wasn't, she said like circumstantial or situational, but really I think what she means is like, I thought I was worth doing something immoral for, like our connection was worth him stepping out of his character, and it wasn't ideal, but we needed to be together and you guys were in a bad relationship. And now 9 years later, I realize like, yes, that's possible. I believe people can have that and be immature and do toxic things and evolve and be in healthy relationships. Tom Sandoval is not that person, which is why when Raquel says, I don't know if I'm willing to risk my life, which I've already done, for a man who would cheat on his life partner, she is looking for him to have done the work that he's not done. She's looking to be the exception, not the rule. And it's like, girl, you're the rule.
And the one revelation we did get was confirmation of at least one other time Tom cheated, that he says, but that doesn't include the Miami girl revelation that is now confirmed. There's the Billy Lee cold case that Lala wants brought back up. And I'm sure, as Lala says, like, if you jump into a 7 month affair, it's probably not the first time you've done something like this. So as Lala probably correctly points out, there's probably a number of people along the way, and now it's turning into this. So yeah, Sandoval is, he's regressing as a human. As Lisa, as opposed to someone like Jax and Kristen, who at least on the outside seem to be progressing as people.
The Miami girl truthers finally got their day in the sun. I never believed him for a second. And poor Ariana, she covered up for him. Like, I mean, men will make you do crazy things sometimes when you're in love. And like the fact that she stood by him, like, girl, you could have waterboarded that info out of me.
Yeah, it would have been so easy after that season just to be like, you know what? It did happen. We were not exclusive. We had talked about it. I know about the situation. Like, it is not a big deal to me.
Bring her out for the reunion. Get Miami girl in for the reunion.
Yeah, but the fact that like she flew in and that Kristen wouldn't let it go, like I kind of understand why they just like pushed it down for so long.
And that just shows Ariana's ride or die, right? She held this secret for 8 years, like to the grave, and she would have taken it to the grave if this all didn't happen. The fact that she was willing to, like, you know, make Kristen look crazy and all the stuff to defend Sandoval, it shows the type of partner that she was, that Sandoval just like spit in her face over. But so I thought the other big winner from the night was Sheena, who
she had an executive producer.
She had it, looking back at a very rough season. She was very much on the wrong side of history for most of the season, but she took that in, and she had I thought the most emotional conversation actually of the entire night was her conversation with Tom. Haley, what were your reaction to Sheena's tearful goodbye to Sandoval?
I want to like roll back just like a tiny bit, and I want to talk about just her and Katie coming to a like an adult truce over coming together for their friends. And I appreciate in Girls Night, which took place the day that the TRO got filed, that Katie like actively was like, hey, how are you doing? And Sheena like didn't have her Sheena mask on of like, everything's perfect. And she said, I'm not good. Like, I needed my sister here because I had to come out here for Ariana. The conversation with Sandoval, I have never seen Sheena like this before, where she is so willing to like not see that person's side, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like she's always looking to like justify somebody's actions or kind of give a reason, and like at no point was she ever giving a reason. And you know, there's been many times throughout the seasons where Sheena doesn't necessarily have Ariana's back as much as Ariana has her back, and I really appreciated her coming to this conversation and really just like annihilating him in a way I've never seen from her before. I appreciated that Brock kind of said his piece in one line and then said, I am taking my daughter out of this. You guys have this conversation. And then I appreciated that Sheena said, like, you've got to go now. Like, I have to continue my life. And we're not friends anymore. Like, that's it. And like, Sheena's the queen of flip flopping on friendship. But I don't think like she's going back to this one. Like, I think this is done.
Allie, what did you think?
Cut to Tom and Raquel being the only ones who will film with her at like 5 years from now. But no, I was just snapping egregiously, like not egregiously, but like a lot uproariously, because I agree with everything Haley said. I think the Brock thing is so small, but I was, you know, maybe this is a hot take in supporting Brock, but like, I really like, Brock's not as close to Sandoval, so it's not like a Schwartz Brock comparison, but this is to me how you greet someone when you are not on their side, which is like, hey, you put us in a real shit position. Good luck talking to my wife. Like, I don't think he even shakes his hand. You know, like, he's not like giving him a hug and being like, how are you? And he's just like, we're not cool, bro. Mm-hmm. And I really respected that. And I think another way that I agree with everything Haley said about Sheena, Tom has no reaction to losing a friend of 14 years. Like, in the same way that he has no reaction besides basically hags to Ariana, where he's like, we had some good times. Like, it's like you met a friend at summer camp and you're like, all right, cool. Like, have a good life. He just, you'd think he would say, like, it, again, just because he's on freaking camera, that's how you know how deep it is like, he thinks this is the right way to act. He doesn't even say, Sheena, like, I love you and I totally understand. And, you know, like, maybe one day, you know, I'll never give up hoping that we can make up, you know, like, whatever. I respect your decision. Mm-hmm. I deserve this, but I want to tell you I love and value your friendship and I'm glad that you'll be a friend to Ariana. Like, something to redeem something. Like, he just goes, okay, then.
He couldn't come up with anything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm like, zero reaction.
Yeah, we have Sheena being like, I'm going to miss you. I feel so bad we're losing our friendship. Even James Kennedy, we could talk about also. He was so sad. Like, I'm so sad we, like, this guy just, like, tossed out our friendship. This is so sad. And all Sandoval can think about is his reputation and his bar and his finances, not about any of the relationships that he's sewering in the process.
No, James and Sheena are consistently forgotten about collateral damage. It's kind of crazy. Like, didn't Sheena get, like, punched in the face at her own bachelorette party for when she was engaged to Shay? This poor woman. And then James always gets tossed aside.
Almost breaks her tooth a couple
times. I mean, we were just praising Kristen, but he got tossed aside by Kristen as well. It's like, this poor man can't catch a break. Like,
yeah,
even though they're plot devices, they have feelings.
And I've seen a lot of discourse online about saying, like, oh, Sheena has, you know, a unique talent to make everything about herself. But I do genuinely, and it's funny, she said it on her podcast. She's like, besides Ariana, like, I am the most affected. Like, I put my reputation on the line for both of these people. Like, Raquel was my best friend. And Schwartz, Raquel was my best friend. And, like, she did this to me, too. And, like, I get it. Like, she's acknowledging that Ariana is, you know, the number one pain receiver, but like, Sheena's life did absolutely blow up and she got handed a TRO and then Raquel did not show up to court. Like, it was a farce. Like, that is incredibly stressful for this woman, and like, it's just brutal. It is brutal what has happened to her in the last 2 months, and you know, the fact that she's been able to keep her head on straight, like, good for her.
Harvard Law, though, she had a great defense about the punch gate. You know, she couldn't even physically close the fist. Yeah, otherwise the nails would be
something.
Great stuff. Did they teach you that in law school, Allie? The you can't punch if you have big nails. You got to be acquitted for that.
Yeah, I think they would say, don't hold up a fist when you're saying that you can't make a fist. I was looking, I was like, you'd think she'd be like, I can't make a fist. She was like, I'd break my thumb. I can't close. And like, for the listeners, I'm closing a complete fist as Sheena was doing.
You don't have acrylics though. You wouldn't know. It's a unique struggle for the acrylic community.
But yeah, I think her best defense would be, if I had a fist,
right,
there would be no mark of my nails. That shows I went straight open hand.
I went for the eye gouge.
Yeah, and I missed. I gouged you. Come back with updated paperwork.
I am like dying for whatever business they were outside of to release their tapes. Like, please, for the love of God, they could make millions by just like releasing that moment just so we could see.
Get the Ring camera. It's got to be there.
Can we talk about James again? I know everyone, yes. Like, I do think like James has had such a reputational glow up in my eyes where like in terms of the winners of this, like Ariana, while everybody's a loser here, like not us, we're amazing.
We are but, winners. Like,
this is
we are
obviously winning.
Thursday night, 10:56 Eastern Standard Time, podcasting about Vanderpump Rules.
This is like a very sad situation, but Ariana is undoubtedly better off than being with Tom. And if it took her this to get the ick that we've all had, great. Not great, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. She says on Watch What Happens Live, like, hopefully this will be positive. It's like, girl, you know, it's positive. You have a hot man. Like, we love it. But James, to me, also, like, Lala, James, Katie, real winners here. Like, anyone who was against Raquel before the news breaks comes out, you know, 50% boosted. I was gagged when James did the Mean Girls like three-way call and called Raquel on speaker. Like, I maybe production made Raquel answer the phone and this was 100%. A pre-scripted moment. But as a TV viewer, I'm going to be here and be like, why the F is Raquel answering this phone call? And also, show me your more pick me without showing me your more pick me than answer your ex-boyfriend's call. Like, because you want his attention. Like, yeah, with- sure it was production, but if it wasn't production, you're pathetic.
And she answered like,
block that number.
It was, hey, what's up? As if it's like a casual day and like the entire, like her life just getting, just get blown up.
Also, we have come so far from Katie going to Lisa Vanderpump and trying to get James fired, giving the ultimatum from Sir to her arriving in his apartment to like be present for this phone call. It's just magical for everyone involved.
The Katie James relationship has been by far my favorite development of this season. Watching them join forces together against Raquel the back half of this season was so beautiful to watch. It was a great moment. I loved this is a small like funny moment, but one of my favorite moments was Allie. So James is on the phone and Allie just like tries to like run and hide. And she's like, I'm going to go to the kitchen. And like the kitchen's like three steps away. It was just a very funny moment. But all their reactions with James, like James just knows how to talk at Raquel's level. Like I think we see that in the reunion when he calls them like poo-poo heads. Like that's what gets to Raquel. So I appreciated him like dumbing down the conversation to her to reach to her level. Because that was very, very funny.
What was your favorite line from the phone call?
I don't think I can say mine.
Mine was definitely like the you've diddly done fucked up your life. Mm-hmm. Like just the way he so smoothly like pulled that out. And it's such a tongue twister. I thought it was
just he's been waiting for that one.
Yeah, he had that written down in his phone notes.
Yeah, but I agree. James is a big winner. I mean, even Jax says they're best friends, James and Jax. They can have that. They can.
I refuse to acknowledge that. Like,
that's a PR stunt.
I can't let that into my heart.
All right.
Remember when Jax fucked Faith? Anyone?
We don't remember that. Anything else we didn't discuss that needs to be brought up here? Any other key moments, key highlights, key conversation that we didn't get to?
One thing I just want to highlight, and I love Lala. I really think like I love Lala. Doesn't need any more words, I guess. Lala showing up in her sweatshirt, her merchandise, incredible. And I give it to Daryl.
Incredible. You gotta respect the hustle. Get that bag.
I don't know. If I'm Ariana, I do not respect the hustle. Like I do wonder how Ariana feels. Like maybe Ariana feels fine about every single one of her close friends trading on this. Like Kristen makes sure to announce every time she's on a podcast or an appearance that Ariana has approved it. But like Sheena released background footage of the night at the vlog footage from the march in New York with Raquel on her Patreon. Like Katie, Jax. I mean, Jax is not Ariana's friend. It's fine. Like, all of these people are doing the most with this information to get the ka-ching ka-ching. And really, I'm sorry, only Ariana deserves the cash resulting from this. I would feel a certain type of way if my friend showed up to my like night out in her like immediately printed merchandise based on my life falling apart.
Like, that was the prototype she showed up in.
Literally. That was a mock-up. Turnaround. She ironed it on herself. She got, like, the...
Yeah, she has a cricket.
But, yeah, so, I mean, reunions next week. Obviously, three parts. Should be very eventful. I think one of the big things for next season, why they're holding out contracts, is I think the production has said, like, we need everyone to see the reunion, because there's going to be things that the cast doesn't even know about yet that is going to be revealed at the reunion. I don't know what that means, but that is very ominous.
Yeah, it makes me nervous.
Tom Sandoval definitely killed someone.
I think people think it's that the relationship actually started earlier because the Coachella pictures before them. I've heard some theories about that, but honestly, like, if I know Bravo, it's going to be nothing. Like, yeah. I feel like constantly it's like, well, you think you know everything from TikTok and all the podcasts and Howie Mandel, but you don't know anything.
Hopefully it's not the Brock thing. I know that's been discussed too.
I would be better not.
Yeah.
I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe that for a second.
No.
Brock went from being my least favorite person to ever live to being like father of the year. Like, I want him to be the godfather of my children. Like, love him.
It's the haircut.
It is. He looks great.
Literally.
I wouldn't even sign up for his app. Is he still doing it? What is it like? Oh, at home, body. Headstrong, homebody. Maybe I'll sign up for his app. I don't know if that's still going on. But
well, I feel like Tom and Schwartz were some of the spokespeople, so I don't know how well that's doing.
They definitely need the money. All right. Any final thoughts before we close out? We got three parts of reunion to get through, so a lot more revelations to come. Anything else?
Is there any hard pressed questions?
We kind of got through all of them. I mean, the last one was
MJC. Great, cool.
MJC wants to know, is James the number one guy in the group? Is
always
James?
No, it's Ariana.
Spoke too soon.
Perfect. We'll end on that. All right. If you want to catch the rest of the reunion covers, this is in the Bravo feed, robswebsite.com/Bravo feed. You can follow me at @CohenBrown_. Allie, where can they follow you? And what else are you doing?
You can follow me at Last Streets. You can check out the finale of the challenge wrap up, which dropped today. You can check out NGOG, which also dropped today. New Girl, Old Guy with Akiva Winograd talking about season 5, episode 2 of New Girl. You could check out Vanderpump Rosé, which isn't that bad. I like it. It's probably more expensive for the quality, based on my limited palette. But
how much did you pay for it?
I'm not, I'll tell you offline.
Okay, cool. I was just curious. I want to say
it was around $30, but I was I had to go up to like a very fancy part of New York. Mm-hmm. So who knows what it's doing in other areas. And Brian, thank you. I love any opportunity to podcast, obviously with you, but with the very funny Nicole and Haley, which I don't get to do very often. And this would not, to my knowledge, be happening if you didn't, put it together. So thank you for including me. And thanks, everyone. Looking forward to next week.
Well, keep the compliments coming. Haley and Nicole, I expect compliments in your goodbyes as well. Haley, what are you up to? Where can they follow you?
I'm drunk. No, I'm not really.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @HStrong_. I also have a Bookstagram account at The Strong Library, and you can hear my coverage of Top Chef here on the wrap-ups feed. By the time we wrap up on the VPR season, the new season of The Bachelorette will be starting, and I just want to shout me out and shout Brian and Allie out, because we are coming up on our 9-year anniversary of podcasting, which... God, if you would have told us then, that we'd still be.
So Sandoval and Ariana got together before we started podcasting. That's how long it's been.
Not much longer, but if you would have told the three of us then that we are still doing this, I don't think for any second any of us would have believed that. But I'm thrilled that we all still are
here. Yeah. What about you, Nicole?
Oh, wow. 9 years. I feel like I've been podcasting for 9 minutes. That's crazy. Well, you can follow me everywhere at Behind the Secret. Hopefully my blood pressure will go down after the past 24 hours of just full Scandoval energy. See my probably like crazy ramblings on Twitter. I do the Isaiah and Nicole show over on Silent Podcast, and I'm always mumbling about something over there. So check it out. And thank you, Brian. I am deeply humbled as always to be here.
There we go. It's the opportunity in your presence.
Brian, did the Yankees end up winning tonight?
They did. It's a great night.
Slay!
Unslay. Unslay.
Unslay. Negative slay. No slay.
We'll be back for the reunion part one, the evisceration of Tom Sandoval next week. Until then, have a good one.